Welcome to another new episode of the Dichotomy Podcast with myself, Shalina. And today we have our guest, Ali Dethridge. Ali is the author of Sort by Season, which reached number one on the Amazon bestseller list, which is amazing. Her personal journey of decluttering her own home inspired the Sort by Season method, which we're going to find out all about today and which I read about as well, which is just awesome. And she has a book and YouTube channel, which encourages others to feel less intimidated in pursuing their own clutter-free journey. Ali is in Oklahoma, so there is a bit of a time difference today. So it's not so early in the morning for you now. It's what, 10 o'clock now?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
And it's 7 o'clock here. So we had a little bit of a disaster thanks to my side, because we forgot about daylight savings in America. So we do apologize to Ali. Sorry, you were supposed to start earlier today. Just messed up your whole hour. But anyway, it's lovely to have you on the podcast. Hi, Ali.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I can't wait. It's just like, I read your book and it was just so much of it resonated with me and is what I, you know, talk about with clients and followers as well and on the podcast. And also you have various things. I think it's very American centric as well that I wanted you to talk about.
Yeah.
So I just want to know everything. So, you know, you talk about it being a personal journey. So how did you start into, you know, getting organized and getting the method?
Well, I started by, I kind of stumbled across a YouTube video on minimalism,
right.
And I was so intrigued by it. I think the YouTuber was Madeline Olivia. She made so many great videos. I watched all of her minimalism videos, and then I sought out more, and I got really interested in it, and the thought process, and then the message behind it was to focus more on experiences rather than things.
Yeah.
So then I started decluttering, and I realized that I didn't like to do a lot at once. I like to spread it out. And after a few years, I realized I was doing the same areas of my home, like at the same time every year. Like, right. I was always doing the kitchen in the fall. And I realized that when the seasons changed, it kind of triggered me to start decluttering the next
yep.
area.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and really thought about it and realized I had a whole method.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. So are you doing this now full time, helping people to organize by the method?
I'm working on doing more. I would love to do some like a consultation, some virtual consultations.
Right.
I do a few things though. I love to write fiction. I love to write fantasy. I also love to make art. And I have an Etsy shop where I sell, I take pictures of those and sell digital like wallpapers for phones and computers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll need to check it out because I need a decent cover for my phone. So I think you have to send me the link later so I can have a check it
yes.
out. But that's so cool. I mean, and that's so unusual because usually, and I find with a lot of creative people, they are very creative, but not very good at organizing. So they call me in. So I have a lot of clients who are artists or creative. So for you to be creative and also organize is unusual.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a gap.
Yeah,
that's very interesting to hear.
Yeah, because they usually use a different part of their brain. So you know, I'm not very creative, so I use a different part of my brain as well. So you're an anomaly. It's great.
Oh, thank you. I guess. Thank you. I guess I use my organization side too, because I'm also an online teacher, so
right.
I have to be organized for that. So I think I have like kind of creative outlets and like satisfyingly structured parts of my life
as
well.
Oh my God, that's so cool. So anyone who hasn't read your book yet, can you explain what a sort by season method is?
Yeah, I'd love to. So the sort by season method is when you mentally divide your home into four categories. The categories will be dependent on you and your life, where you are in your life, your situation, you know, if you have kids or not, if you're in college or not. It's very tailored to you,
right.
But the typical categories are usually clothing, kitchen, storage, and memories, which is anything that has sentimental value. So those are what I focus on in the book and I go through. But the method is to assign each category a season,
right.
And then every year to do the same category in the same season so that you create a lifelong habit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't try to do it all in one weekend. You just... it just becomes a regular part of your life, and to not put too much pressure on yourself one season, because you'll go over that same season again next year if you don't declutter everything you want.
Yeah.
So it's about building that habit.
And I love that, because it is about building the long-term habit. And, you know, and I always say it takes 30 days to build a habit. But for this and what you suggest, doing it by season, so it's like 3 months of a time doing one area, that is great as well, because you're not doing it full on. You're doing a mini declutter and then building the habit as well. I love that. So which seasons do you recommend for which area?
Most people I talk to, they usually say that what works for them is to do the kitchen in the summer,
right,
and clothes in the fall, memories in the winter, and then storage in the spring. If you pick those four categories, that's where most people like to have them.
Right.
It's usually centered around like the seasons, like the holidays. Like, for example, kitchen is nice to do in the summer because it's well before the holidays start, so you can get everything the way you like it.
Right.
And then by the time the fall hits with the start of the holidays, your kitchen's ready to go.
Yeah. And then with the clothes, you say fall. I mean, that's so autumn if you're British, because we have different words. Yeah. And in Dubai, in the Middle East, we don't have seasons. We have hot and 2 months of cold, and that's about it. So.
Oh, interesting. I love culture and learning new.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
My major in college was anthropology. So I love hearing about this.
I wanted to do anthropology at university and ended up doing law. So I'm always, jealous when people say they've done anthropology. We don't have proper seasons here. We have a very short time for wearing winter clothes, and everybody will wear their winter clothes for a bit, but we take the winter clothes to go to Europe or America or Canada and, you know, to different places. But you suggested doing the organizing and decluttering in the fall. And so why do you suggest then?
I suggest clothes in the fall more because it's a nice, at least in America, it's a nice transition point between the hot and the cold season.
Right.
So if there's a certain time of year wherever you live where it's a good point where it's right in the middle, it's shifting from one to the next, that's a good time to do clothes, because for example, if you're going from hot to cold, you've just realized what you'll wear when it's hot. So if you still have things left over for warm weather and you didn't wear them, you can get rid of them.
Yeah.
And then you can really evaluate if you want to hold on to all these cold items you have, and if you want them taking up all this room in your drawers and in your closet.
What season do you think would be the most difficult to organize? Because I'm thinking most probably winter is a difficult time, but so what do you think?
Well, for me, I kind of think of it as category. Like the most difficult category for me is kitchen, just because that's where I have the most stuff. I'm the most passionate about cooking.
Right.
And even this past year, I was busy writing and editing the book. So I didn't declutter in the fall. I decluttered the kitchen in the winter. And yeah, it was still just as difficult. It's difficult because for me, that's where I want to keep things the most, even if I don't use them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Like I talk about the what if factor in the book, which is the potential amount of usefulness you think something has.
Yeah.
I have a lot of what if things in my kitchen. Like, oh yeah, I could use this if I ever had to make cupcakes for an event, but I never make cupcakes.
Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, what have you done to get over that what if kind of point in your life?
I try to think, like, did I use this in the past year? And if I've used it in the past year, then it's okay. I let myself keep it. But if it's been more than a year, and if it's been more than two, I kind of tell myself it's time.
Yeah.
It's time
okay, for this that's to good. Go. Yeah, yeah. Because usually I give 6 months. But I mean, with COVID, like with this whole COVID thing, everything's changed. But yeah, so a year would do for now, I think. You talk about consignment stores in the book, and I wanted you to tell me what are consignment stores, because I know I've heard of it, but I just don't know what they are properly. So,
there are these places in the U.S. where you can go and you can sell your clothes, your used clothing, as long as they're lightly used and they're still in good shape.
Right.
And you'll get a small portion. So essentially a small portion of the money back. Essentially, if you go and say, they say, okay, well, we give people 20, 20% commissions on whatever they sell. So you'll take something to the consignment shop and they'll say, okay, well, we do 20% commission here and we could sell this shirt for $10. So we'll give you $2 for it.
Right.
And they'll pay you $2 to give them the shirt that they can sell for 10.
Right. Okay. So they give you the money straight away as soon as you take the clothes to them. Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's a good way to make some money then.
I've made a little. They're very particular. Some are very high end and they'll only take like the trendiest things that came out within the past year or six right. months. Other places are a little more lenient. Well, they'll take a lot more, but they won't give you as much. They'll maybe give you like 5 to 10%.
Oh, wow.
Back.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a good way to get like a little pocket money, but it's hard to like make some good money from it unless you're like really good at thrifting at Goodwill, you know, finding a gem and then selling it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we need to have something like that here, I think. Okay, so, and you also talk about the gift of guilt, which I loved because I talk to clients about this all the time. So do you want to explain to the listeners what is the gift of guilt and how do you deal with it?
Oh, yes. The gift of guilt is when you're given a gift and then you feel guilty for throwing it away because somebody spent money on it, someone put a lot of thought into it, even if it's not something you want or need.
Yep.
It's the guilt you associate with it. And sometimes every once in a while too, you'll have a person that will come into your home and be like, hey, where's that thing I got you? You know,
yes.
when it's something yeah. horrendous that you got rid of.
Yeah.
So in the book, I have some comments that you may come across and some potential responses to them.
Yes, which I loved. They were really good suggestions. It's so diplomatic.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's all about like kind of making the other person realize that you found a lot of joy in giving your things away to someone who needs it more, to like a charity or a friend.
Yeah.
And then that way if they specifically ask where that gift is and you kind of have to tell them, that just kind yeah. of makes it seem like you did something altruistic that made you feel good about giving it away.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I loved it. I love the suggestions of like, I was giving it to somebody because they needed it more than me. And that's just brilliant. It's such a diplomatic, it's a great way to say it. Cause I always say, because we have a lot of maids here or helpers. So I'm just like, give it to them or just say they broke it. And people go, yeah, that's a great idea. But yours is actually a nicer way to do it. But yeah, this gifting and the guilt as well is it's the worst thing ever. I always say to people, I wish you'd just give vouchers, you know, or buy experiences yeah. or go to a restaurant rather than buying a physical gift because it's intruding your taste on somebody else, isn't it? So...
Right. It really is. And it's frustrating too when you ask for those things and you still get stuff
yeah.
as a gift. Because at that point, if someone's not listening to you and what you ask for, that's on them. They're
yeah.
giving you something they want to give you, not something they think you'll like.
Yeah.
If you think of it that way, it kind of releases you from a
yeah,
little
exactly.
bit from the guilt.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe they're just giving, you know, handing off the gift that they were given that they didn't want and they just pass it on to you as well, which
oh,
I've seen
yeah.
with people doing. Which is yeah,
the gifts that keep on giving.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah, it's bad. I know it happens here with perfume bottles. I'm sure there's been a few perfume bottles that have gone around to different houses because people don't yeah. want it. They're like, no, you can have it. It smells disgusting. And another thing I wanted to talk about was you talk about coupons. Now we had coupons like in the UK. Well, I remember when growing up, but I don't think they have it much now, and they don't have it here, I don't think at all. So, but coupons are still a thing in America and like in the States?
Yeah, a little bit. They're really popular in like the Sunday newspaper. Like that's the only time you can get them is in the big Sunday newspaper,
right.
which in America, like the Sunday newspaper, it's bigger, it has more in it.
Yeah.
And so you have to pay more to get that newspaper to get the coupons. And half the time, you see these coupons and it's all a bunch of stuff you could use, but maybe stuff you don't actually need. So you're taking the time to clip them, you know, you spend extra money to buy that paper, you take the time to clip them, and then you're getting things that you really don't need. So even though you save like 35 cents, you just spent $3, you know, it's
so you can't give the coupon for anything. You have to give it just specifically for that item that's on the coupon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
it's
the
like
worst.
For yeah, it's like this little booklet, and they'll have like maybe 50 things. It'll be like this specific brand of toilet paper is 50 cents off this week.
Right. Okay.
If you know, so you'll have to go and and buy that specific brand, even if that brand is like 75 cents more than the brand you normally get.
Yeah.
You think, yeah, it creates like this idea in your head that you're saving money when you're actually not. So really you bought the newspaper and now you're saving 50 cents on a brand of toilet paper that's more expensive. Yeah.
So it doesn't work out at all.
No, it doesn't.
But that's crazy. I mean, because I remember in where we used to live, if we get coupons, like, you know, we'd get it through the door. We would just give it at the supermarket and they would take it, whatever it was for, because they could use it. They could redeem it because somebody else would have brought the product in the supermarket later on or before, you know, whenever they...
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah. So they would just take any coupon. So we would get the money off for whatever, like 50 pence. But yeah, they were like, yeah, it's fine because somebody else will buy that item. So they can always redeem from the brand.
That's such a better way of thinking about it. That makes so much more sense.
I don't know. I don't think it's legal what they were doing, but they were doing it and it was fine.
I see.
But I mean, the logic works though. It's completely logical. It does. And so we were fine. We were like, we were saving money and they'll get the money back as well anyway, because they have to redeem it, don't they? So yeah, no. Oh my God. I just can't believe it's still a thing though. It's just
right. Exactly. And I feel like it's just kind of a way to trick people into spending more money. And it makes me angry.
Yeah, no. No, I agree totally. And finally, let's talk about cow, because yes, I want to hear about cow.
Oh yes, I'm a big fan of Cow. Cow is my cat. she's a black cat. She's 13. She is very sassy. Yeah. She makes a lot of appearances on my YouTube live streams. And everyone loves her. Everyone gets so excited when she shows up. And she always asks to be picked up and put on the desk, and she'll walk in front of the camera and she'll paw at things and everyone gets excited. But she's very opinionated, and she'll like yell at me a lot. She'll like yell at me if I talk too much. She'll yell at me if she wants down. Yeah, she's always mad. But she got her name because her name was Mindy. Right. But when she was a teeny tiny kitten, her meow was so deep. So she kind of sounded like murr, murr.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so adorable. Because I've got two cats. So when I saw that you had a cat, and usually my black cat Keanu likes to jump up and walk around as well. But for once, is being not painful, which is incredible. And the other one likes sitting on my feet, so he's on my feet right now. So, but yeah, no, it sounds like the same. Keanu is the same as Cow by the sounds of it. Like, he just likes getting involved. He likes moving the camera.
Yeah, she's definitely knocked my camera down at least once. And during a live stream, and I have to go and grab it. Like, sorry, everyone.
Anyway, thank you so much, Ali, for being on the episode and like talking about your book. It's brilliant. So if anybody wants to buy the book, you can get it on Amazon. I'm sure it's on our Amazon as well. And it's called Sort by Season. So thank you so much. It's been great to find out more about your book and about America, about certain things that I thought I didn't know about, you know.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thanks as always for listening to the Declutter Me podcast. If you'd like to get more tips and tricks, you can follow me on social media at DECLUTTRME. If you don't want to miss the next episode of the Declutter Me podcast, you can go to Apple, Spotify, Angami, or your favorite podcast player and subscribe, as well as see us on YouTube. And also it'll pop up in your notifications if you do subscribe. And it would be amazing if you could leave a review as well. Thanks again, Ali, and take care, everyone.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.